Tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to start down here and then I'm going to move up there this morning because I have an illustration that I'm going to need help with. But before we begin, Brother Ken just came up to me and mentioned that we have another individual that we have not mentioned this morning who is sick. It's Tracy Hunter. And it was said that we may want to have a prayer on her behalf, and that's a definite that we will definitely do that. So before we begin this morning, let's go to our Father in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to come before you today, and Lord, we know that you are the God who hears us and the God who answers prayer. They are according to your will. Heavenly Father, it seems that there are so many of our number today who are hurting. Lord, you have answered numerous prayers, but we come before you today as a family, Lord, that we do have heavy hearts because our family members are hurting. In particular, at this time, we pray for Tracy Hunter and her family, whatever's going on there with her. Lord, we pray that you will relieve pain, you will heal sickness in their life, and we pray that you will restore a walk to them, to her in particular, that she has known. Heavenly Father, we don't know exactly what to pray in this case, but we know that you know their situation. And so we pray that your hand will be with them and that you will use us in their life if it be an opportunity to do so, to bring comfort to their life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to make a quick announcement, and then I really do have an illustration. As a matter of fact, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and ask Daniel, I saw you perk up, brother, don't worry. Would you come up here and help me this morning real quick? I'm going to ask Daniel to help me, but the announcement that I have to make is this. I want to thank you all for being very patient with our family during the time period of this transition. You can just sit right there. You have no idea what you just got yourself into. Sometimes transitions happen very quickly, and we would all love in ministry for transition to happen very quickly, but sometimes transition doesn't happen quickly, and it takes time. And I want to thank the elders here for the patience that they've shown to us, and thank this good congregation for the patience that you've shown to us. And I wanted to let you know that we have found a house. I know I heard the, We have found a house. It takes time. You got to be patient with us. But I didn't want to necessarily jump the gun on making that announcement, but I have been told that it's getting around anyhow. But I want to let you know everything's not done on it, but I did want to thank you for your patience. Thank you for loving us and accepting us into your family. And we're just thrilled that we're able to announce that today. But if all continues to go well, it'll close next month unless we can hurry things along, but you know how that goes. So please keep us in your prayers as we continue this transition process. Daniel, I've asked you to come up today because our lesson is in dealing with anxiety and fear, right? And so as a way of illustrating something, Daniel, I'm going to ask you to stand right here for now. Daniel, did you know I was going to call you up? Had no idea. Okay? And now you can see Daniel's a very strong individual. Very well-built young man. I didn't want to bring up a weak guy. All right? So I got the best that we have. It only goes downhill from here, brother. But I want you to do me a favor during at least a portion of my sermon, okay? I'm gonna give you some books to hold. Okay? And what I want you to do, it's real fancy. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to say anything unless I address you again. But I want you to hold those books, okay? Because these books represent something in our life. You see, when you and I are born, we're born into families oftentimes. But families don't always go the way that God would intend for them to go. Would you agree with that? Hold these books, please. Family doesn't always go the way that we would think it would go. Sometimes, parents split. Sometimes kids rebel. Sometimes health fails. And sometimes it just doesn't go the way that maybe we thought it would go. But you see, as we progress in life, family's not the only issue that we deal with. You see, there's also education and career. And when you and I think about education and career, we think about this idea of what am I going to do in life? Will I be able to have enough money to support my family? Will I be able to hold a job? Will I do well in school or will I not? And if I'm not well trained, is there going to be something ahead for me? You see, career is a worry that we have, but I wish I could tell you that it stops there. Because oftentimes as we age then, it's not our immediate family, our mom and dad and brothers. You doing all right? Hang in there, brother. Don't lock your knees. You'll pass out, okay? Don't lock your knees. The idea is this, though. We get married. And the idea, will I be able to be the spouse that God's intended for me to be? And what about those first 7 years of marriage? I mean, after all, that's when most divorces occur, within the first 7 years of marriage. Will we be able to get through it? You know, there's wisdom, and when I have said before, people who have been married over 50 years will tell us that sometimes it's okay to go to the garage. You know, it's okay to separate. Come back together after you've cooled down. Because the truth is, when you marry somebody, you didn't marry your clone. Guess what? She has her own brain. She has her own thoughts. And some of you ladies are going, I think he has his own brain. Right? He has his own thoughts. But you see, it doesn't stop with getting married either, does it? No, it doesn't, because all of a sudden you have your own kids. And I wish I could tell you that children were just 100% a blessing. They are about 99.9% of the time. But it's that 0.1% that we seem to hone in on. The times that they cry throughout the night and they need changed and they need fed and they need burped. And then guess what? Dr. Evil pituitary gland kicks in and they become teenagers. Help us, right? And then eventually they graduate out of your home. I wish I could tell you that that's all that it was in life, but I can't. You see, the truth is, as we age, difficult times come. Health starts to fail. Just stay there, Daniel. Health starts to fail. And you know what? Spouses pass away. Loved ones pass away. Retirement's never enough, and it usually doesn't go the way that you plan. Have you ever felt like this before? That you not only carry the weight of your world, but that you carry the weight of everybody else that's in your family? Have you ever felt that way before? Have you ever felt like it was all hinging upon you, and that if you let it drop, that it was all going to go downhill? Daniel, you doing all right? Daniel, don't let that person fall. That's your old age spouse. Don't let that person fall. Now, I want to show you something. When I left you, it got scary, didn't it? You're like, okay, what's going to happen? Now, I want to show you something, okay? Daniel, would you let me carry that for you?
Yes, definitely.
Would you let me take it?
Lead it to me. Now tell me what your arms feel like. Super light. Like they're floating almost.
Do you have much care? Because you're not worried about dropping these, are you? Because you handed them off, right? I think you can go sit down. That's why I have children. They can clean that up afterwards. This morning, I want to talk to you about something that has been described as an inner feeling of apprehension. It's been described as an uneasiness or a concern or a worry or a dread. And oftentimes, it's accompanied by a physical response where our heart beats faster, where there's actually a neurological and a chemical change that occurs. Because of the cares and concerns that sometimes we carry, our muscles actually live in a state of tension. Sometimes we even perspire just thinking about what either is or isn't a reality. What we're talking about today has been described in this way as a stream, a thin stream of fear. You see, one of the things that I've learned about rain and about erosion is oftentimes a heavy rain will cause erosions, but once that first wave of erosion has occurred and that first stream or that first cut through the mud has occurred, the rest of the water tends to trickle towards that point. And then all of a sudden what happens is the more that it rains and the more that the water flows to that point, the wider that ditch becomes. You see, anxiety has been described as that ditch. That sometimes you wish it wasn't there, but because it is there, it seems that all your thoughts and all your abilities to handle the stresses in life, they all funnel to that one ditch. And the more you live, it seems the wider the ditch becomes. The question today that I have for you is this: is Jesus the answer? Is Jesus the answer for my anxiety and my fear? I want to invite you to open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 4 today. As we begin, I want to lay home a point, and that point is this. You know, we all have moments of anxiety. If you think for 1 minute today, those of you who are here who are listening over the internet, if you think for 1 minute today that you're the only person who's ever struggled with anxiety, then you're absolutely wrong. You see, all of us face moments that we have uncertainty. All of us face moments where we don't know what the outcome is going to be. We don't know how severe the punishment is going to be. And truth be known, we don't always know the consequences of our decisions. But we make decisions in light of what we think is the best. And sometimes there are consequences that we didn't see coming. It's not that we don't all have those moments. The question is, what do you do when you do have those moments? How do you learn to process those moments? How do you learn to deal with the anxiety and the fear that exist in your life? This morning I tell you this, that we all have anxious moments. In Mark chapter 4, we read, beginning with verse 35 and following, of an account. And it's a very familiar account that we've had, but I want you to notice that while the Bible may not specifically spell out anxious moments, it definitely puts individuals in anxious moments. And in chapter 4 of the book of Mark, verse 35, that's where we find ourselves this morning. When the Bible says this, "On that day, when evening came, he said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" I want to stop there for a moment because I want you to try to position yourself, put yourself where they are. Other translations other accounts of this particular time in the boat with the stormy sea, as it paints the picture, it will say this, and you know how this goes, that Jesus calmed the storm. But you see, to the level that Jesus calmed the storm, the opposite of that is true as it relates to how much the storm was raging. Now I want you to consider that for a moment. Jesus was able to calm it perfectly. In other words, there was no reason to be concerned. So if I'm going to understand then that the opposite is true as far as how much the storm was raging, then I've got to go to the other end of the spectrum, and I have to understand that at this anxious moment that his disciples were in, it was because the storm wasn't just sort of blowing. Their conclusion was, "I'm going to die." Their conclusion was, "The boat is going under. We will perish." And here Jesus is just sleeping away. And so the only conclusion that I can reach, because I don't see Jesus responding to this situation, the only conclusion I can reach is that Jesus doesn't care that I'm going to perish. He doesn't care that I'm weighted down. He doesn't care. Anxious moments can cause individuals to come to some interesting conclusions. Conclusions about family, conclusions about career, conclusions about brothers or sisters in Christ, conclusions about their own family members, their own health. It's interesting to me to to study the human brain and the psychology behind the way we respond to anxious moments. Some individuals crumble. Some individuals punch anxiety in the nose. But in all of our lives, we have anxious moments. Moses had an anxious moment. He was called to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go. And in Moses' anxious moments, what he did was he started coming up with excuses as to why he could not be the one that God was going to use. King Saul had anxious moments when he drew up in battle array and he was told to wait on Samuel to come and offer the sacrifices. But because he saw his own army fleeing, King Saul abandoned the will of God and the words of Samuel, and he acted on his own accord, eventually would cost his life or cost his kingdom. Later on, he would have an anxious moment where he would take his own life. Judas had anxious moments. Peter had anxious moments when he looked up after denying Jesus three times. The Apostle Paul must have had anxious moments when he was being stoned or beaten or left in on the side of the road for dead. I would even propose this to you, that if Jesus is our perfect high priest, then he's able to understand everything we go through. How can he understand the moment or the crossroad of anxiety if he didn't go through something of that on his own? Did he not pray in the garden, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but thine be done"? You see, we see the human side of Jesus in the Gospels as well. You see, sometimes those anxious moments are because of what's right in front of us. And in the Bible, when we talk about anxiety or we talk about care and concern based upon what's right in front of us, do you understand in the text that that's not condemned? Even within this particular passage, Mark chapter 4, I do want to point out something, that because Jesus did respond after they had came and said, "Do you not care? We are perishing." And in verse 39, he said, the Bible records this, "And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm." But look at what he said in verse 40. "And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid?'" "Well, I'll tell you why I'm afraid, Jesus. I'm afraid because I saw the storm. I'm afraid because I was in the boat that was rocking. I'm afraid because here you are, the Son of God, and you're sleeping on me." He says, "Why are you afraid?" And then he asks this interesting question. And quite frankly, it's not a comfortable question to ask in the study of anxiety and fear. But since the Son of God said this, I guess it's okay for me to say this. He said, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Have you ever thought about the conversation of anxiety and fear in the same sentence or same vein of lack of faith? You see, when I say that, it can be quite offensive. It can be, quite honestly, very offensive, because there could be any number of individuals in a room this size of people who may have needed help at one point in time, chemically speaking, with anxiety or depression. And so therefore you went to a doctor and you got prescribed some medicines, and maybe you've been taking those medicines. I want you to understand this. My point today is not to, in any way, shape, or form, to tell you that there can't be a chemical imbalance, that for a time individuals may need help with some medication to help straighten out those chemicals within our brain. I'm not going to say that at all. And so don't hear me say, "Well, he said I'm on, and since I have anxiety and I'm on medicines, that I don't have faith." I didn't say that. But what I do want you to consider this morning is this. In the time period of Jesus, they didn't have medicinal means to take care of anxiety. But you see, I would also tell you this, that God knows his creation. And when Jesus responded to their question of fear, and he said, "Why are you afraid?" His very next response, not mine, his was, "Do you still have no faith?" You still have no faith? You see, sometimes our worries It needs to be discussed in the manner of faith. Because quite honestly, that's what Jesus discussed it in the manner of. The ideas, sometimes the worries and the concerns are right in front of our face, and it's because of situations. But anxiety and fear aren't always based upon circumstances. Are you aware of that? Sometimes anxiety and fear are based upon the unknowns. And it's the what ifs, the what if game that drives us crazy. Well, what if my teenager starts driving and they don't know what to do and they have an accident? Well, what if we go here and we're exposed to this? What if we, and I will tell you this, to the best of our ability, we need to use wisdom as we live in this life. The idea of the absence of anxiety is not a carefree life. It's a responsible life. But I will tell you this, sometimes individuals take that concept to the nth degree, and what ends up happening is they practice zero faith in God and put all their trust on their ability to figure out the situation. Well, I've got to know everything before I walk. I wonder if that's what the disciples did. He told them to go about and proclaim the message. I wonder if they sat down and did a case study of every village that they were going to go to. I wonder if they calculated, well, there are this many individuals in that town that don't like Christians, and there are this many animals, and so the statistical probability of me being persecuted or thrown in prison is this level. Therefore, since the statistics are high, I won't go. We think for one moment the disciples sat down and did a statistical analysis of their missionary journeys before they went on them. I'm going to guess this, that when Jesus sent out the 70, two by two, that they went. I'm going to guess that they walked, and guess what? When they encountered their hardships, their instruction were to dust the dirt off of their feet and to keep going to a town that would receive them. You see, I don't want to in any way, shape, or form tell you that to live a life of faith with the absence of anxiety is even realistic. But I will tell you this, that the more our faith grows, the less our unhealthy way of handling anxiety grows. I do see that through the scriptures. You see, sometimes the general gets us worked up. The general, such as what is said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, the unknowns, how are we going to be able to feed our families? And I will tell you this, the Bible still says, if a man's not willing to work, then don't let him eat. I mean, there's this idea, you've got to faithfully walk. But what he's saying is that you look up at the birds and you see how the birds are cared for. Then as you go through life, in general speaking, as a child of God, we've got to understand that we have a value so much higher than those birds. And that if he cares for the lilies of the field, then he's going to care for us. But you see, that's a general attitude and outlook on life. But it's difficult when that trench has been fashioned within our brains and within our life. The question is, when you think about how to overcome that, how do I overcome this concept of that trench that's been ingrained in me that all the other thoughts go to and I can't seem to escape the anxiety. I can't seem to escape the pessimistic. I can't seem to escape the negative thinking. Something's always going to go wrong. How can I get beyond that? It's interesting in counseling studies, they would tell stories of men who would go off to college and they were afraid that they were going to do bad on tests. And so that played into the way they would study, which played into the way they would sleep. And then it played into their test anxiety. So all of a sudden they start skipping classes, and they don't just skip classes, but they start not even wanting to go into the building. And it's not because they don't want a good grade. It's because the more anxiety grows, the more physical effects it has on us. I can't make myself go into the building because I get sick. Well, then it turns into, well, I can't go to the coffee shop because I may run into one of my professors. So I get sick. And so the idea is I can't leave my room because I may see somebody. You would look at that and you'd say, Joe, that's a terrible situation to be in. And I would tell you this, that is. And I wouldn't want any of us to be there, but I'll tell you, what's the answer? What's the answer so that I don't get there? And if you are there, then there's definitely counseling that would be part of the answer. But I will tell you this in your life. in your life, the answer is like Daniel understood. When he was holding the books, it got heavy. And the more that was piled upon him, the heavier it became. And if he were able to, I was going to let him stand there for as long as he could. I don't know if you knew that. You didn't. You didn't know what was going on. You say, why would you do that? Because here's why. Sometimes, no matter how heavy this life gets, we choose to hold on to what's weighing us down. We choose to hold on to every burden. We choose to hold on to every care. And in our conclusion it is, well, I'm supposed to hold on to it. I'm a man. My dad and my grandpa held on to it. And this is just what a man does. And I will tell you this. Yes, a man, you have to bear the responsibility and you have to bear the burdens at times of others. And a wife would say, well, I saw my mother and she handled so much. And I saw my grandmother and she handled so much. I have to, and I would say this, there's some responsibility that you have to take as well. Young people, you would say, well, this is what I see my dad doing, so therefore I have to do this. And all of a sudden what happens is we almost feel pressure to continue to stay underneath the stressors and the burdens of our life. The answer for us is the same answer that was for Daniel. When those books were weighing him down, when those books were starting to shift and becoming difficult to hold, he can dance around and try to reposition to make them fit. But he didn't get true relief until I came down there and I said, will you let me carry those? When he handed them off, I said, Daniel, how do you feel? How do your arms feel? He said, very light. Very light. See, in the passage that was read for us earlier, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the Bible reads this way, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, the Bible tells us to let go and let God. But sometimes we struggle. I wonder why we struggle letting God have more of the load that we carry. I wonder really why we struggle with that. Do we think that He's not able? Do we think that it's a burden? Do we feel that maybe at times we've been let down? And so therefore we say, you know what, I'm not going to give it to Him. But I will tell you this. If you come to understand a key principle that Jesus is the answer for the anxiety and the fear of your life, you will know a peace that doesn't make sense in this world. You'll know the lightness when you allow Jesus to carry the burden before the Father. You see, it really is a matter of faith. It really is. It really is a matter of trust. It really is. Is He able? And if He is, why? Well, three reasons quickly this morning I'd like to inform you as to why Jesus is the answer for the anxiety and the fear in my life and in yours. And number one, it's this, because He has the power to calm the storms. You see, we read in the New Testament of Jesus healing and of Jesus encountering even the demonics. And yet Jesus had the power to cast out the demonics. We read of individuals who could not walk, yet Jesus had the power to say, get up and walk, and they did. We read of a Jesus who was sleeping in the boat, yet when those disciples of His became concerned to the point of asking Him, do you not care, we're going to perish, that all Jesus had to say to the winds and to the rains and to the sea was, hush, be still. And they responded to His voice. Let me ask you a question today. Do you believe that Jesus has the power to calm the storm in your life? Do you believe that with all of your heart? Do you believe that with everything that you are, that He has the power to bring peace into your life? Do you believe that? And if the answer is no, Joe, those are just Bible accounts that we read about, then you're wrong in the way that you're reading the Bible. Because the Bible is there to bring you peace and comfort as you come to understand what the revealed will of God is and who the God is of the Bible and how to be in a relationship with Him through Jesus. You see, the same Jesus that calmed the storm is the same Jesus who is making intercession, as your intercessor, as Mark would talk about this morning. The same Jesus who calmed the storm is the one that when you pray in His name to go to the Father. You see, He's more than able. He's demonstrated that He's more than able. The only question today is this: will you embrace the power that Jesus has? Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we're afraid to lay it down. Well, Joe, what if I lay it down and it doesn't turn out the way that I want it? Then have you ever stopped to think for one moment that it's not about the way you want it, but it's about the way God wants it? There's a lot in life that doesn't happen according to your desires. And spiritual maturity is not about you coming to conclude that if God blesses me and does what I want Him to do, then I'm good with God. That's not spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is when the Apostle Peter would write to the Christians who were undergoing trials, and he tells them, hold on and allow your faith to be proofed. Hold on and go through the fire. And trust that God will see you through. You think about the children of Israel when the Egyptians were pressing upon them at the Red Sea. You can imagine the thought of, oh, we're going to die in the wilderness. Oh, wait, that's what the children of Israel said. I wish you would have just let us die in Egypt. You see, in their mind, they had concluded, we're going to die. And yet God said, step in and let me show you what I can do. Step into the water. You know, the water doesn't part until you step into it, folks. It would be nice if He parted the waters all the time before we ever took the first step. One of the most powerful messages that I see in the Old Testament is not that God's not able, that He requires you to step in the direction. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you've been carrying that load for so long, and all He's saying is this: step in the direction and see the power that can be unleashed. Second, I would tell you the reason that Jesus is the answer for the anxiety and the fear in your life is because you have great value in the eyes of God, and through Jesus, He demonstrated how much value you have. You see, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 16, a very familiar passage, but one that deserves to be read and to be brought back up to the forefront of our minds. For God so loved the world. And sometimes we roll over that and we say, well, what's the big deal? He said, so loved the world. Yes, but do you understand how great a love the Father has for us? How great a love, the love of the Father is unknown by any other relationship that you have in this earth. The love and the kind of love of the Father is unlike any other has perfected, because the Father alone has perfected this. When you think about why He sent His Son Jesus, He sent His Son Jesus because He so loved you. That's why He sent Jesus. Understand the value that you have in His eyes? Do you understand that according to 1 John chapter 4 verse 19 that He didn't wait on you to love Him before He loved you? Some of you may be saying today that I'll step in the direction of God when He steps in the direction of me, and I will tell you, He's already stepped in your direction. He's already offered His Son to die on the cross for you. And He says that all who are weary and heavy laden, they can take His yoke, and that He'll make it lighter for you. But you've got to respond. Sometimes people who struggle with anxiety, they don't respond because they don't feel loved. And I'm here to tell you today, the reason Jesus is the answer for the anxiety and fear of your life, because He loved you enough to lay His own life down for you. We sing all kinds of songs, and one of those is a song referring to that He could have called 10 legions of angels or 10,000 angels. And you and I look at this, Jesus had the power to do that, but He didn't. So instead He was mocked and He was beaten. And the song would say that He died alone. And the answer for why is because God loved you first. Will you embrace His love? You see, the same God who created the universe is the same God who loves you today. And He wants you to embrace Him in His power, and He wants you to embrace Him in His love. But I will also tell you this, God didn't leave you in a situation that He cannot understand. You see, when we think about the high priestly nature of God as is displayed over in Hebrews chapter 4, and as is explained throughout the Bible, we have to understand that the whole purpose of Jesus coming down is both man and God. As we understand, He was born through man. He had the human side of who He was, but He was also full deity. And the question is asked, why? In God's infinite wisdom and in God's perfect plan, why send His Son to take on the form of a bondservant, Philippians chapter 2, to take on flesh and blood, yet still have the ability over the demonics, the ability over the sea, the ability to forgive sins? Why have that in a total package? And the answer is this, because He then stands between you and God the Father as the perfect, perfect intercessor. He is the one who is only qualified today. And in such, He understands our weaknesses. You see, that's what Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and following says. And the Bible says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. And you read the rest of that passage, and you know what you'll find out is, because you have the high priest that you have, that you and I can have confidence. Not only confidence to draw near to the throne of grace according to verse 16, but I would also tell you this, the confidence to live this life trusting that God has got you in His hand. Sometimes we forget that God is there. Sometimes we forget that we have the ability through prayer to cast all of our anxiety and our cares upon Him. That's what's said over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And the answer to why would He want me to cast my anxiety on Him? Why would He want me to approach a situation that I don't know how it's going to end and lay it at His feet? And the answer is because He cares about you. He cares about you. And when you care about somebody, you've got their best interest in heart. When you care about somebody, you want the positive outcome. Now, here's where we are disassociated from what it means to have God's care. We equate God cares, that means life will be peaceful. That's not the way it was throughout the Bible. God's care was to show that His will was better than ours. God's care didn't mean that He didn't let the children of Israel wander in the wilderness for a certain amount of time until all the generation that doubted Him died. Sometimes we've got to take multiple laps before we're ready to enter into the promised land. And that's the hard part about life. You know, it'd be great. Can you imagine the children of Israel and the wandering of the wilderness? They take one lap through the wilderness and they say, now God, can we come in? And God says, you're not ready yet. Take another lap. Those of you who grew up in sports, you understand what take another lap meant. It was a cuss word to me. I perfected what was called the lineman shuffle. I didn't run, I shuffled. And to hear my coach say, take another lap, it was defeating. But you know what I did? I took another lap. And when I got back around, I thought maybe this was it, where He was going to say, go get a water break. And lo and behold, when I had taken that lap, guess what He said? Take another lap. And I said, you got to be kidding me. Can you imagine being the children of Israel in the wandering of wilderness and God saying, take another lap. 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 Until God's will was completed. See, the difficult thing about understanding the care and concern of God is we believe that it's on our timetable and for our own outcome. And I will tell you this, it's not for our outcome, it's for the outcome of God. This morning, I want you to understand something, if you will, please, that the Bible does have an answer for anxiety. The Bible definitely has an answer for anxiety, but it's easy to talk about, it's difficult to put into place. And the answer is this, You've got to let God, through Jesus, carry your load. The reason Jesus is the answer is because He has the power to. Because His love has been demonstrated. And He is your perfect high priest. If you're struggling today to let Him carry that load, then the question is, why am I doubting His ability? What am I holding back for? What do I really think that me worrying about this and being concerned with either what I can see or what I can't see is going to be a benefit to me? Is it going to help my health? Is it going to help my family? Is it going to help my relationships? Because studies will show that when an individual lives in anxiety and fear, that every one of those are negatively affected. So this morning, the answer is to give it to God through Jesus. Let Him carry the books in your life. You say, but Joe, He doesn't deserve that. And I would say this, you're right, but He does it anyway. And that's because He loves you beyond what you understand. We oftentimes will read the 23rd Psalm at funerals. And I find it interesting that that's at times the only time we pull the 23rd Psalm out. But this morning, I want you to consider the words of David as he's going through the difficult moments of his life when he says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. For though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," I'm going through the valley right now in my life. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because You're with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and You've anointed my head with oil. Through all of my valley of the shadow of death, I can still say my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And in the end, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's quite appropriate to read the 23rd Psalm at funerals. But it's also quite appropriate to reflect on the great shepherd that leads you right now. And if you'll let Him lead you through the valley of the shadows that you're going through. Jesus is that good shepherd. And His rod and His staff, they still bring comfort for those who will embrace Him. And so this morning, as we talk about a subject that it is oftentimes very difficult to talk about and is very personal, the question that I leave you today is this: will you find comfort in the rod and the staff of the Good Shepherd? Some of you may be going through very deep moments in your life right now. It's hard to preach with a group this size and know what everybody's going through because not everybody is open with that. But I want you to know this today, that if you're going through the valley of anxiety and fear, and it seems like every day you wake up and that's what you find, I want you to know something, that Jesus is still the good shepherd. And His rod and His staff can still bring comfort. And He still wants to lead you beside quiet, still waters and through green pastures. He still wants to restore your soul. But you must embrace Him as the answer for the anxiety and fear that you struggle with. This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, I tell you this, you're skipping out on embracing a loving Savior who died on the cross for you. You've never obeyed the gospel, you've never confessed Jesus as Lord and repented of your sins and been baptized for the remission of your sins, you're missing out on the greatest blessing of the Good Shepherd leading you through the valleys or even the high points in your life. I heard someone say just recently, I spoke in Oklahoma this weekend, and a brother came up to me talking about the difficulty that he's had over the last year after losing his wife. And he said, "Joe, I don't know how people do it, who aren't a part of the body of Christ. And I said, you're right, because you are a part of the body of Christ, you know you belong to Jesus. Today, wouldn't you love to have your sins forgiven? Wouldn't you love to have the peace that passes understanding? You'll find it in Jesus, but you won't find it in these other places that you may be looking. Today, if you have obeyed the gospel, but in this area of your life, you've been struggling to let Jesus carry the books, today would be a great day to come back to Him. Today would be a great day to say, Jesus, I'm going to let you have the books of my life. I'm going to take your yoke. But I'm going to lay my burdens down. I'm going to cast all my anxiety upon you. And I'm going to walk more faithfully with you. Today, if you're subject to the invitation, and I don't know where this hits you, but if you need to come forward, I'll meet you and I'll hug your neck. And if you need to cry, we'll cry with you. If you need the prayers of the congregation, the council of our elders, we stand ready to help you in any way that we can. But ultimately, we know this, the answer for all of us is Jesus. So if you're ready to come to Him today, don't wait. Come forward as together we stand and as we sing.